All right, it's 4:00, and we welcome you to the Sioux Falls Parks and Recreation regular board meeting. It is Wednesday, September 20th. We are here at the City Center at 231 North Dakota. Our first order of business is to have a roll call and determination of quorum, please.
Ann.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Mick. Rick.
Here.
Brooke.
Here.
Teresa. Jim.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Second item for our order of business is to approve our minutes from the August 16th meeting. These were in your packets. You should have had time to review those. I'll give you just a minute, but would entertain a motion for approval.
Wagner, so moved.
Second, Stavanger.
Roll call, please.
Nachtigall.
Approve.
Begeman?
Yes.
Weber?
Yes.
Wagner?
Yes.
Stavanger?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Third item on our order of business is public comment. This is an opportunity for those in the audience to speak to items that are not on our agenda. And seeing that there are none, I think we will go ahead and move to the next item, which is unfinished business. None that I am aware of there. So we'll move on to our new business and start with the Airport City Property Exchange, and Don Kearney is going to let us know about that.
All right. Good afternoon, board members. I appreciate the opportunity to provide you with a briefing on a proposed land exchange between the city and the Airport Authority. It's kind of a long-standing property cleanup issue that we've been working with the Airport Authority on that really clean up a lot of the discrepancies that we have with property ownership between the airport and Elmwood Golf Course. Ultimately, following the Park Board action, we'll be asking the City Council to approve an ordinance that would allow us to exchange the land between the Airport Authority and the city. And essentially what's happening is that we're trying to get the Airport Authority to own the land that the airport occupies, and then for the city to own the land that the golf course occupies. And so one of the things that also is being proposed as part of this exchange is that there would be permanent easements put in place to protect the airport's approach zones that Dan will talk a little bit more about as part of his presentation. So Dan Lettler is the executive director of the Airport Authority, and I'll turn it over to him to kind of talk us through the details and the airport related safety stuff. So Dan.
Good afternoon, everybody. Great to be here with you. In your packets, I'm not going to go through every single one of these documents, but two-thirds of the way through, there is a PowerPoint. I'll just kind of primarily go through those with you to summarize a little bit some of the history, what we worked out as an agreement, and some of the details on what that exchange involves. So, as Don mentioned, we have a discrepancy in our legal documents on some land ownership that was created back in 1986 when the Airport Authority was created. All the city-owned land that the airport utilized was transferred over to the Airport Authority. During that exchange, there was some legal language that it included about 39 acres of currently Elmwood Golf Course, which makes up a big chunk of the East 9 course, and about another 16 some odd acres just to the north of Elmwood that's been used over the years for different storage between the city and Elmwood. When the airport was going through kind of a property project to determine and make sure we had all our legal descriptions and documentation for our property, back in 2009, it was identified that there was a discrepancy that the airport actually owned, had title to this land. We updated the FAA, and their response was that either you need to start collecting rent for that land or you need to figure out a property exchange to get things corrected. So back in 2011, 2012, we worked with City Real Estate, Don and his team at Parks and Rec, identified a proposal that would, a $0 transaction that would transfer this land back to the city in exchange for navigation easements or airspace easements to protect the approach zones on both ends of our primary runway 321 for land that the city owned. So the airport went out and got appraisals for the land to make sure the dollar figures worked. The airport actually had to provide like another, it's in here, 12 some odd acre, 9 acres on the north end of our property by the diversion channel, again, to make the dollars work. So we had an agreement in place. Anytime an airport disposes of land or releases land, the FAA has to review and approve that just to make sure there isn't land that could be used for some future aeronautic purpose. So that was presented to the FAA back in 2012, and they got right on that, and we received the final approval December of last year. So once we had the approval, we went back to folks at the city. I think Don and I are the only two that even remember that we were working on this. And so city attorney and city real estate picked up the transaction, and with the amount of time that had gone by, they didn't want an updated appraisal, so that was accomplished. All the legal ordinance documents that you see there were pulled together. And so we're here before you for approval to approve the transaction. Now, if you move through the slide, this first one gives you a bit of a close-up look at the land in question. Again, 39 acres off of M Avenue and I guess Elkhorn Street. Off the end of the runway, that's 39 acres in Elmwood, another 12 or 16 acres up here to the north. Those are the parcels that will be returned back to the city. There is a small sliver that will be transferred or retained with the airport that completes our runway safety area, so that we do have to retain. The ultimate then transaction again is the city receiving this property along with there's 9 acres up on the north end that actually completes all of the city owns this other land by the diversion channel railroad, so that does kind of complete that. There's an easement, access easement, so along the railroad through our airport property to get to that that parcel. And then the green areas on both ends of the runway, shaded areas, that's the navigation easement. Again, city-owned property that would protect the airspace, so nothing can be built or grown that would impact those approach zones in that area. Just added protection for that. And then the last page is just a breakdown of the dollar values associated with that. Again, the goal is to have a fairly even dollar exchange between the parties, so the value and those easements the airport is receiving plus that 2.6 acres of land and then the value of the land that the city is receiving, it's pretty close to an even exchange. Again, it's based on property valuations at the time the appraisal was done. I mean, I can back in 2012 actually the airport came out a little ahead, so it just depends on when you take that evaluation, but it's about as close as you're going to get to an even exchange. So that's kind of a quick summary on what we're trying to do, basically clean up a clerical error that's been out there for 37 years. The airport certainly doesn't want to get in a position where we're forced to collect rent, and I'm sure the city doesn't want to be paying rent either for the property. So kind of next steps, we did do an informational meeting with the city council last week. And this ordinance would be go, if it's approved by you folks, before the city council on October 3rd and the 10th.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
What questions does the board have for Dan or Director Carney?
Don, are we using this land for anything?
Yeah, golf course.
So it's part of the golf course.
Yeah, so a lot of the area that Dan has mentioned, that property is currently part of the 27 hole course, mostly on the southern and eastern edge of Elmwood.
So will that require us to make adjustments?
No.
For the fairways or any duty?
No. The airport authority at the time when Elmwood was renovated, you remember that when we went through the renovations, they also made the runway safety improvements at that same time. extended their boundaries so that there weren't any, anything that, if, obviously if an airplane runs off the end of the runway or comes up short, ideally you don't end up, you don't have any obstacles in the way, and there's a lot more to it than that. But so yeah, they, basically what's happened is that this, the airport's owned a lot, a good portion of the acres that the east nine sits on, and portions of the other portions of the course. And so essentially this just makes the property ownership reflect with who's actually using what property.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. All right, so as he mentioned, this does, after us, it does go to the City Council. So we are looking for a motion to recommend City Council approval of the land exchange between the City and the Airport Authority.
I'll recommend approval to City Council. Begumin?
Wagner, second.
And roll call.
Nachtigall?
Approve.
Begumin?
Yes.
Weber?
Yes.
Wagner?
Yes.
And Stavanger?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, next item for new business is Great Bear Lift rental fees, and we are going to hear more from Dan Greider.
Hi, Dan Greider, general manager at Gerski Valley. We are she used to work for us.
My first boss.
Oh, really? Small world.
We are required by contract to have any rates, admission rates, approved by the Parks Department, mm-hmm. or Park Board, excuse me. And so we are proposing that we raise our daily lift access rates by $3 to what would be $38 for a full day lift ticket. And we're also proposing that we increase our season pass rate by $30. So a new season pass holder will pay $330. We do give existing or previous pass holders a little bit of a discount. We only raise that to $315 versus the $330. And then finally, we want to raise the admission rate, or actually the rental rate, of the building during the off season for our weddings, receptions, and things like that. Currently, we're at $1,000 for a premium night. That's way, way under the market. So we want to increase that to $1,500. And that's it.
It looks like we're even with those increases, small increases, that we're still quite a bit lower than comparable places.
Know, yeah, without a doubt. And a lot of that is because of our relationship with the city. Mm-hmm. Capital improvements are hugely expensive in this community. You know, one snow gun is $35,000. You know, that lift was $2 million. So if we had to fund that all ourselves, mm-hmm. you'd be seeing $55 lift tickets,
right.
And actually this year, if you walked up to the ticket counter at Vail to buy a lift ticket, you're going to pay about $250 for that. So, it's always been our goal to keep the area affordable and accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. And we think we're doing fine line balance on that.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right. Thanks for the presentation.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, so before the board is, we are looking for approval of the Great Bear Lift rental fees increase.
I make motion to approve the fees as suggested. Or however else you want to say that. Mm-hmm.
Second.
All right, and roll call, please.
Nachtigall.
Approve.
Begumin.
Approve.
Weber.
Approve.
Wagner.
Yes.
Stavanger.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
See you later.
You bet. All right, next item for business under new business is the Farmers Market Amendment, number 2, to agreement for use of city facilities, and Brett is here to tell us about that.
Good afternoon, board. Brett Collars with Parks and Recreation. Also with me today is Nathan Van Sweden, on behalf of the Farmers Market. So in front of you is a proposed amendment to the Farmers Market use of city facilities. The existing boundaries for Farmers Market essentially outlines stalls underneath the existing shelter. Through COVID, the Farmers Market adjusted their operations more toward the perimeter of the parking lot to allow for that open-air environment. In that experience, they realized a more convenient means of operations and an improved user experience. So they've continued to operate in that way. What this amendment will do is update the boundary to reflect farmers market existing operations. So we're looking for your approval of the amendment, and our staff recommends it.
Move to approve, Begeman.
Second, Weber.
Okay, roll call, please.
Naftigal.
Yes.
Begeman.
Yes.
Weber.
Yes.
Wagner.
Yes.
Savinger.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for coming. All right, and Brett is back up to talk to us about entry fees for 2023 and 24 season.
Yes, thank you. We have several gate fee applications, all related to swim meets occurring at our NIDCO Aquatic Facility, seeking your approval on these gate fees. One is related to USD swim meet on November 3rd. A second is into the Augustana Invitational on November 16th. And lastly, another USD swim meet in February 2nd, 2024. You have each application in front of you. Standard gate fees, and our staff recommends approval.
I was just going to ask, these are what we've done in the past. Right. Okay. All right. We're looking for a recommendation for approval from the board.
Move to approve or recommend?
Approve.
Move to approve.
Approve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Second, Wagner.
And roll call.
Naftigal.
Approve.
Begeman.
Yes.
Weber.
Yes.
Wagner.
Yes.
Savinger.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Brett. And next up is a report from Director Gurney.
Thank you. So over the last probably 3 or 4 weeks, we've been having consultant meetings on the Quality Life Bond projects. We actually have Williams coming in tomorrow and the next day. Really kind of pre-planning meetings before we go out to the community and start talking about schematic design. In the case of Williams, they plan to do what's called a design charrette. Maybe you've been involved in one of those before, where it's a really interactive opportunity to provide feedback and they kind of draw as you dream about what you'd like to see done. So a lot of planning meetings, putting a lot of information together so that when we go out to the community, we can be really efficient with our time. So those are going on both with Williams Architects, but also Stockwell and JLG here in town on all four of those projects that we have at Keene Frank, McKinnon, and then as well as the Southside Aquatic Facility as well. So anyway, just know those are going on. Next month, we will start to inform you about meeting locations and times for those meetings. And then there'll be periodic check-ins with the public as they continue to refine the designs and the cost estimates for those projects. So you'll start to hear more about that in the coming weeks. Just a follow-up, we had a rather lengthy meeting the other day about e-bikes, quite a bit of conversation around that. Representatives from the Active Transportation Board were there. Various citizen representatives were there too. Lots of varied opinions about what should be done with e-bikes. And so it's a work in progress. Don't anticipate anything coming in the near term, as in next month, but anticipate there will be more conversation both with Councilor Neitzert, who's really very interested in this topic, but also more meetings probably internally with legal, PD, planning, you know, just to continue to vet through what changes we would like to make with regard to that. So just be aware that still an ongoing conversation, mm-hmm. so to speak. And mm-hmm. if it was easy, it would already be done, obviously, right? So
yeah.
It's very, people on both sides of the discussion there. Just want to let you know, obviously you're aware the Lions is currently under construction, but Splash Pad has started construction out at the zoo as well. And so there'll be a lot of construction going on. Goal is to have the Splash Pad open in May. And so just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Want to let you know that we did bid Jacobson Plaza. It came in higher than what we anticipated. The good news on that front is that the Greenway came in significantly under. And so between the two projects, we still have some flexibility and some dollars in our capital program to fully award not only the Greenway, which has already been done, but last night the Jacobson Plaza award was on. We awarded all but one of the alternates, which was a kind of an additional sign down by 4th and Phillips that we thought is currently the staging area for Sioux Steel, but we just thought we can finish that sign off when we finish the area between 4th and 3rd. So anyway, good news is that we've got the project fully funded now, and the contractor should start here in the next 3 to 4 weeks, I would imagine, on that as well. Lloyd Companies was a low bidder, as they were with the Greenway project as well. So they have that entire site to work with, and obviously they'll be motivated to get the project done as soon as possible, given the new development. And so a couple things with regard to those projects. We have a skate park, I don't know if it's even called a groundbreaking, because we're kind of already broke ground on there. But well, the celebration of the skate park going in, essentially the way I would term it. So that's at 4:30 tomorrow. Expect to have a bunch of skateboard folks show up, kids with their skateboards, so that should be kind of a fun atmosphere. As you saw, if you were on our tour today, they're making good progress. New line, the skate park contractor's in place and doing quite a bit of work already. So if you've been by, it's kind of exciting to see. We also have a groundbreaking scheduled for the Greenway on Monday at 4:30 as well. And then we have another date, I think it's October 16th, for Jacobson Plaza to break ground on that project as well. So anyway, I'll have Mackenzie send you a date finder on just to plug your calendars in for those dates and times and when that'll happen. And I can tell you with regard to Jacobson Plaza, Gary Jacobson is very excited, and I don't know if I would say relieved, but just glad to see that it's fully moving forward. So he made a major investment to see it all come together, despite the economy we were dealing with. It was pretty exciting. So, and that's what I have, unless you have questions for me.
Exciting.
Don, the splash pad at the zoo, is that going to be within the zoo, and will that be a paid admission that's only? Or will it be a part of the zoo fee? How does that?
Yeah, it'll just be part of the zoo fee. I think it's a great opportunity for, one of the issues the zoo has is that when it gets really hot, people aren't really crazy about walking around for 2 hours in the heat. So this gives the kids an opportunity to be able to cool off, and parents if they'd like. But it'll be within the zoo. My understanding, there is not an additional charge for that. It'll just be part of your experience at the zoo. And as part of that, they also have these human body dryers that will be part of the project, as well as a replacement restroom. The one that's there now by the farm, so to speak, that's over by the carousel. It's kind of seen its better days, and it's time for a new one, so that'll be part of it as well. So, and that's fully funded through an anonymous donor. So,
Omaha has a splash pad, and it's fabulous. And you just go in there, and you don't get super soaked, and then you walk around and dry off the rest of the day. So, it's a really nice amenity.
Really nice.
That's
great. Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, that'll be some new stuff to see out at the zoo. So,
next tour.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Any other questions, comments for Don? All right. Thanks, Don.
You bet.
Next item is items added after the agenda deadline. None that I am aware of there. Reading of communications to the board. None there. So we're up to open board discussion. Hearing none. Call for adjournment.
So move.
Thank you.